Thank you, sir. County Administrator's Report for June 6, 2017. Item number one, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for April 2017 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 192 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of April. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, the following projects have received substantial completion. Hopkins Pettijohn Subdivision, otherwise known as Red Mill Pond North Phase 5, effectively May 19th. Ocean View Beach Club, Amenities Sewer, effective May 22nd. And Park Shore Henlopen Station, effective May 31st. Lastly, it's with sadness we note the passing of County Pensioner Linda J. Willie on Sunday, May 28th. Ms. Willie began her career with Sussex County in July 1978 and retired from Community Development and Housing Division as a secretary in July 2002 with 24 years of service. We'd like to express our condolences to the Willie family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Jamie Sharp. Discussion and possible introduction of an amendment to Sussex County Code regarding on-premise and off-premise signs.
Good morning, Mr. President and Council. I know that we beat the dead horse last year on signs, but as we discussed last year, there was probably going to be some opportunities for some cleanups or suggestions that came in after it took effect. And one of the things that has come before staff is a question regarding the separation distance between on-premise signs and off-premise signs. Currently, the code prohibits an off-premise sign from being 50 feet of an on-premise sign and an on-premise sign being within 50 feet of an off-premise sign. There at different points in our discussions had been, as we went through that, navigating those waters was actually putting language in there to preclude the off-premise sign from being within 50 feet, but not necessarily preclude an on-premise sign. I think the discussion there, we never got a formal motion to amend the ordinance to that effect. One of the concerns, I think, at that time related to, if there was an existing off-premise sign that perhaps met setbacks at the prior zoning and maybe hurt somebody on a neighboring property. To that effect, we have prepared a short ordinance to address that potential issue.
And that, I'm going to guess, that I know I asked this question, that addresses, I'm assuming, the on-premise sign.
Correct. It would say that the separation requirement would not preclude the erection of an on-premise sign within 50 feet of an off-premise sign.
Right. Okay.
And was there anything to do with the electronic messaging of these two signs? They both be electronically messaged now?
This section specifically addresses just signs in general, off-premise and on.
Okay.
I mean, the concern that came to me was from a couple of people that if there was a billboard already there,
right,
for whatever reason, for however long, and a guy had a next door a business, want to put a sign up for his appetite, his business, he couldn't do that.
On the neighboring property.
On the on-premise side, couldn't put his up because it was too close to the billboard that was off-premise.
Correct. And the previous setbacks were 20 feet for the off-premise sign from a side yard
all setback. All on the same parcel we're talking about.
Well, this could be a separate parcel.
Could be next
previously,
parcel to it.
You could have had one within 20 feet of your neighbor, an off-premise sign. And there was some concern, I think, previously about that, but it never got made into an amendment. So
right.
I recognize that there's a, sorry.
Go ahead. Mr. Burton?
I don't understand. So if I own a property next door and I have a billboard on it.
Okay.
And you bought a shoe store next to it. You couldn't put your
sign up to advertise my shoe store
on that property at all.
Correct. Because I'm too close to you.
And this is an ordinance to
but correct that. Okay. Correct that. We're only dealing with the on-premise sign being allowed if there's something next door to it.
That's correct, Mr. President.
So how close are we going to it now? I mean, can.
Well, it would just say that you would not, that separation distance wouldn't apply to the erect, to the placement of an on-premise sign.
Is if the billboard then is on the property line, if that, I'm sure that probably has occurred, it could be right under, in other words, we could have the on-premise sign then directly under it?
In theory, and this is simply a, If the off-premise sign has been located on there or on an adjacent property, what we're saying is that won't affect the placement of an on-premise sign.
So no, we don't have any restrictions on on-premises signs where they'll be placed with this
correct.
Amendment, is
correct.
What you're saying.
But if there was an existing on-premise sign, you couldn't then put your billboard within 50 feet of it.
Mm-hmm. That would
on
the
another piece
yes,
of property.
Yes, that part. Or on the same property.
Same property, too.
On the same property.
But Mr. President, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Has there been cases whereas there is an existing billboard there, in Mr. Cole's example, on the property line, and there's an incoming business next door at the next parcel over, whereas they're not being permitted to be able to put their on-premise sign there, on-site, you know, for that business? Has there been a situation where they've not been permitted because of the way the code is currently written?
I'm not aware of any specific instances, but I understand that someone has raised a complaint about that, so my understanding is that there probably is a case out there. But I'm not aware of a specific instance. I think that's how this issue came up, was someone...
Right, somebody. I think somebody wanted to put a sign up, and the sign guy says, I'm sorry, you can't because...
So if it stays the way it is, the shoe store guy had to mount his sign to his building. He couldn't put it on the
property. No, I don't think he'd be able to.
He can't put it anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
That's not right.
And I think this would be the kind of thing that could be discussed when if an ordinance is introduced. Perhaps we would get some public input at that time and good time for discussion of that specific.
Was there a variance ability to? To ask for a variance on that?
Well, we have a restriction that you can't have
right,
variance.
But I know they do, but I thought there were some exceptions on variances on certain issues. But anyway, this wouldn't be an issue that we could just say it could be, because I'm sure the times this is going to happen is maybe once or something, or twice.
My suggestion there would be, that would be a better thing to vet and deliberate on when we have the public hearing.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I think our goal should be, we don't want to hurt the guy who's got a business who wants to advertise his business on his property.
I wouldn't rent the building.
Well,
can't advertise.
Everybody might not be that slew of businessman. I don't know. I mean, but why would we want to?
Why would I want to rent a building and I can't put a sign up if you got a billboard next to it?
Well, you're a savvy businessman because you went into politics. So you're
right.
Smart. That's how savvy you are.
Genius.
Anything else?
But what's the current setback on on-premise signs?
I believe it's 20 feet from the property line.
Yeah,
side property line.
So in theory, this would permit not 50 but 20.
Well, an on it already has that anyhow. An off has to be 50. The problem, I think, if I had to guess, probably comes up where there's an existing billboard already that met setbacks, side yard setbacks at that time, which may have been 20 feet. Or is on the same property as where maybe there's a development, maybe something was owned commercially and they look to expand a building or develop it otherwise, and they can't, they're too close. So I think those are the two cases where that probably comes up.
Right.
But again, my guess is if we had a public hearing on this, we would probably hear from the sign folks more specifically about instances where maybe that came up.
Okay.
Just have some good pictures, examples of what we're talking about. So we can see it, physically see it.
If you would be so kind as to draw up.
I have one drafted.
You have
right
one,
now,
okay. Then if you want to.
Let me read the title.
Sure.
Everett, they were working while you were away.
They were supposed to. That was the plan.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 21, Signs, Section 159.5B1.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole introduces it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
I need a second.
You don't have a second.
Now, Ms. Cornwell.
She's back.
McCormick Taylor contract, scope work related to comprehensive land use plan.
Hello again.
Glad to have you back.
Thanks. So since the original discussion at the 2018 Comprehensive Land Use Plan kickoff workshop on March 1st, 2016, there have been some recommendations by the Planning Commission to expand the scope for the comp plan. So today I'm going to talk about the request to approve the expanded scope. The expanded scope includes an additional 1,337 hours of work for an additional cost not to exceed $165,087.25. Much of those additional hours are for meetings with the Planning and Zoning Commission. The scope also recognizes the additional meetings and interviews requested with County Council in various cities and towns. Please note that the approval is not for an amount to exceed. Therefore, if some of the hours are not used, the county will not be charged for those hours. So if we don't need to have an extra meeting, we will not be charged for that hour. For those meetings. For example, you know, if we've been moving through the process, if we've reduced hours for the plans for the publicity, media coordination, and communication support, as staff has actually been completing some of those costs. So instead of those hours going to McCormick Taylor, those hours have been shifted. The expanded scope of work covers the entire comprehensive plan from the initial meetings through the final plan for a total estimated hours of 3,172 for a total cost not to exceed $435,193.31. Progress has been made on many a chapters on the comprehensive plan through the public involvement, the Planning Commission meetings, and various interviews. Therefore, staff recommends the approval of the expanded scope as it continues additional public input and participation. Thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, sir.
I just got to ask this because somebody went through a process of picking out a consultant, and I assume there was a scope of work that they bid on. And that number, if my memory is about $300,000, I think was our, is that the same close?
$270,000.
How much?
It was $270,000.
Excuse me, for $30,000, $270,000. Now we're increasing that by over a third. How did we miss that far off of our original scope of work? I mean, this is a, you know, if this was Mr. Medlars up here with the sewer project, a third over would be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And this to me is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. How did we miss the mark so far?
So when the council approved McCormick Taylor's original scope of work for consulting activities specifically related to planning, zoning, and specifically comp plan work, they put together their scope of work, which is their standard scope for comp plan activities. They were selected after our RFP process. They were selected because they have done numerous comp plans over time. So we considered them to be very familiar with comp plan process. They have a standard process by which they follow. They based that initial quote of scope of work expense based on that standard process. Once we got into the process and started the process, there were some concerns raised, in particular concerns coming from Planning and Zoning Commission members relating to the process that McCormick Taylor had set out. And we, if council recalls, we had a joint workshop out to the West Complex where discussions were had about the process, and a combination of all of that, we hit the pause button, if you will, and at the request of the commission, I would say, really decided to change the scope of work to reflect what you are being asked to approve right now. Said another way, the scope changed to add all of this work and time and meetings because the commission was more comfortable with this change. If you are keeping up with the process right now, there are almost weekly or biweekly workshops that take place right here in this meeting room in the chambers, where the consultant spends all day talking and working with the commission on specific parts of the elements. We have outside experts coming in. We have agency testimony that is taking place. All of this is within this change of scope. And now we're at the point where we haven't spent more than council approved originally, but before we continue down that road, under the advice of our finance director, we wanted to get this scope of work approved by the council. Sorry for the long answer.
No, I mean, I just was curious because obviously it's a big increase in a contract, to me anyway. I'm going to assume then with all this, we're going to have the best comp plan in the entire country when we're done with this kind of money.
It will be a very thorough comp plan, and I think we are making every effort to allow the public the opportunity to participate, as well as the appointed and elected officials.
Cal said this later on. Mr. Burton.
The end date does not change with this change, right? So the delivery date of the comp plan is not being moved forward or backwards?
Correct. The plan is still on schedule.
Okay.
All right. It will be in our hands. They'll be done with it. We'll have it by October 1st, correct?
No. There'll be a draft plan. The final plan you'll have late this year, early next year, is when the final plan will be completed. The draft plan will be done, and then the intent was to go out for the third round of public meetings in the fall, and there's discussion about that, and then tweak it a little between everybody. You're going to start seeing chapters whenever you'd like. We just finalized the historic preservation chapter, but the actual final plan that will for the public hearing will be late this year, early next year, and that has always been the time frame.
So we will see the final document then when?
Well, you'll see it whenever, if you want to see it in pieces.
The final document, all together, when?
You will probably see the draft in the fall.
And what happens? So we get a draft. What happens then?
You can make comments. You can make suggestions, make changes, and then we'll take those, and then we'll have that final, and then we can do the public hearing.
The fall is, when's it due? When
June of next year, so we have a year.
Okay. And then I'm assuming all this time that we're adding to is for public input, which I think is great. Do you feel public input is, you think we're getting our money's worth out of the public?
Well, a lot of the extra hours are for the Planning Commission workshops, and for the first hour of each of those is for public comments, and the last half hour is for public comments, and we always have somebody giving public comments. So I think that is a valuable
How about the ones you've had out in the communities? I bet some of those have been very poorly attended.
For a comprehensive plan, they were well attended.
That's typical.
For comprehensive plans, we always wish we had gotten more people to attend, but we also have a stack of comments about that big in the planning office of people who have emailed comments.
Well, the email, I understand that, yes. But as far as having an actual event out in the communities, I've been to, with the exception of one, have been,
some have been better attended than others, mm-hmm. But for a comprehensive plan, I've been to in other places where you maybe get two people to show up. So we've had the public show up, and we've had good participation from the public who do show up.
I guess what concerns me is you keep talking about the final thing in, I guess, sometime next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to have it approved by June.
Yes.
That doesn't give us much time.
I want to answer your first question first. The Planning Commission did sort of raise a subject about, we're going to continue to look at this, whether to go out to the five councilmanic districts is worthwhile in the fall or the end of the summer, or just do like one or two big workshops, just because the return from the public has not been that great. And if we have some big ones where everybody can come, we probably get the same input. So, and that may be a little bit of a cost savings too. The historic preservation element of the plan is online now. That's up on the county's website, so you can look at that and comment.
Comp plan website.
The comp plan website. That's fun. And the elements are going to continue to be put up there. We've actually got through several of them. One of the things that we've been looking at is what population numbers we should use. So that's kind of put things on hold a little bit, because obviously population drives a lot of the elements. We're going to have things to you along the way. As Janelle said, you'll have a draft. We're shooting for the end of August, September.
September.
That's the goal we're looking at. You know,
for a draft.
All the final draft of the
chapters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we make any changes, do we have to send it back to P&Z?
No. That's what I'm asking. I told you. I'm just trying to find out now.
We're looking for information and input from you all.
But we might need public hearing. We might need public input.
We'll have a public hearing.
Input on the change.
And the public hearing is intended to be early next year.
Well, before we vote on it, we have to have a public hearing.
But if you're going to change something in the draft, does it involve public input?
No. Not the, I mean, it could,
well,
but
the draft, I don't know.
The draft, it's a question, right? So the draft comes up, right? And we have a question on it. Mm-hmm. Where, how do we get input on that?
Well, the intent was we'll have a draft. You'll have seen it. We'll take it out to the public. They can comment back. You can make whatever changes. The commission, council can make whatever changes. And then that final draft, then we'll go to the public hearing.
And you all can make comments, just like the public, the whole way through along mm-hmm. the way.
Right. We can make comments, but remember.
And
the
changes.
Question is,
not individually. We got to do it in public.
Yeah.
Right on the change.
Now, what you just said, recommendation for changes.
If
we recommend the change, it goes to P&Z and they say, we'd like that change. That's what it's over with?
No, because it still comes back to you.
My point is, I don't care about the draft thing. The final thing, we're going to make the decision on.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we were just trying to give you a heads up. You're going to see the draft chapters ahead of time before it became that final, before that public hearing. So we can make changes, and then you'll have a final draft that will go for the public hearing, and then you can still make changes.
I'd like to just maybe see you all in front of us with these chapters, because you're just saying we can all make these changes. It gives you the impression I can call up and make a change. No, I can't do that.
We can put them on.
You can put it on, but I mean actually make a change, because what we're going to do is you'll get, I'd like to see a consensus here. We get a presentation. I'd like to see maybe going forward, we look at these chapters we've worked on and address them, and you might say, this group thought that P&Z's recommendations went the wrong direction, and we ought to hear it as soon as possible and not wait. And the other thing is, I think public participation, when you have nothing for them to really look at, you don't get much public participation. So we should have had the two big meetings in the beginning and then have more of them when you have a document that people can start looking at and start reading, because then you'll get people interested because they're looking at something. It's in writing now. It's getting serious. So maybe it's a good idea to have these two big ones. I don't know, but I'm just saying we should have had so many, possibly, as I look back in the front end, we should have had them once we get a document. So, but I would like you to bring the elements or chapters, whatever you want to call it, for conversation in public here. So you might see three people, four people, or maybe five say, I got a concern. I don't like the direction. We need to address this. Planning and zoning hasn't gone far enough, or planning and zoning went too far. That way we don't look up here and Mike, after we get a draft, we got to go start backpedaling, in which, again, you see how fast we make decisions. In other words, just, again, being proactive, like I was trying to do with the special events thing. Let's get ahead of the game a little bit and keep us informed more so, and not just waiting for me to call you up or Vince and you write it down on a yellow pad. I think you should hear it from us in public.
Well, the historic preservation one, that's basically done, so that's a matter of putting that on.
How many other elements are done at this point?
That is the only one at the moment.
Well, that's the easy one, right?
A few others, and as soon as those get done, we can put them on a council agenda.
I don't know, Todd, if you're setting up the agendas, if you want to do one element at a time or two elements at a time. Now, historical element sounds like a no-brainer. Maybe it would take a lot of time, but others might. So if you could somehow get us involved. That's all I want to do is get involved. We take the heat. We're the elected officials. Planning and zoning does a great job, but they may not be hearing the same things that I hear.
We could do that and clarify a couple points to Mr. Vincent's, what I think it would be a concern. You will see your draft, the draft, by end of summer, early fall, mm-hmm. which will be a complete draft document of all elements, which will allow us to really start to dig in on what council's input will be on each one of those elements. And at some point, public hearing, which is required, and all along the way, council input. So the final document that goes to the state will be with all of council input and direction, and at least three of you saying yes. I will say we can't just hand you 100 plus pages and say, what do you like? So we're going to have to do that element by element. And I would suggest we're going to have to tick that off in a very methodical way, because this historic preservation element online right now is 26 pages. We're going to have to take some time for you to digest it. It's the easiest element. We did it first. When we start talking about land use, conservation, mobility, those elements are going to really take some time and some right. insight from this council. And I think as we start moving into summer and fall, we're going to have you involved in much more at a much greater level, so we get that thing done in time.
Well, I have seen in the past that when we get to that point where we've gotten way down the road to make any changes, then it gets very difficult. And they could be valid changes and improve things, make it better. So I'd rather, again, try to get it on the front end to hear, like, say, when we're dealing with agriculture or wetland setbacks and other things, you know, going into the future, how we should be addressing them. And I don't want to wait for a document that says we'll have zero setbacks from wetlands when, you know, we've been hammered that we need to. This isn't, you know, or farmland. We're seeing changes in other parts of the peninsula on how they're addressing large-scale, you know, farming operations. Is that appropriate on 5 acres? In other words, we may have some strong, you know, some opinions later on that P&Z does not have, and we're the ones that the buck stops here, basically.
Right.
So.
Well, I think so. At least I understand this. We're going to get a draft.
Yes.
That we can make comments on.
Absolutely.
The public can make comments on.
Absolutely.
That will go to planning and zoning. Correct?
Yes.
And then they will adopt from that draft a final document.
That will then be sent to you all.
To us.
Yeah. There'll be a public hearing on the planning and zoning level on that final
right,
one.
Right, right. I mean, I guess my point is there's no, not saying there's going to be, but if there is a difference of opinion on what we think and send to them, doesn't mean they're going to adopt that.
That's also true.
They're going to adopt what they want to adopt.
Correct.
And send that to us as a final document. Once we get it, the final document, then we go through it again, make any modification we want to it. We have a public hearing, and then we would adopt it.
That's correct.
Correct.
And that would go to the state.
Correct.
So, doesn't go back to P&Z, it goes north.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Yes. It's just like any other ordinance sure. you adopt from mm-hmm. planning and zoning. If you had a hearing, it's your document at the end,
right?
What you vote.
But gentlemen, I just want to point out it'd be nice to tell them what we think early on.
I'm not saying I'll do that.
Right. I want to see.
Because we
right.
think it, but right. they're going to think it.
Oh, no, I know that. No, I like I said, I understand our roles. I just want to early on, like on agriculture, I think we said something a couple weeks ago that we thought was important. Tell P&Z to try to incorporate. You know, and that's, I think we need to have that give and take from us and let them, you know, address it. And now they may say, oh, ignore it, that's fine. But
sure.
like I said,
well,
at least they've been put on notice that we as a group were concerned about that.
If, you know, there's no reason why if there's probably going to be, you know, a handful of issues that yeah. are going to be, you know, maybe there's a difference of opinion, maybe more, maybe less. But there's no reason why you all couldn't put that on an agenda, just a comp plan item and talk about it and give some direction to the commission if you know buffers are going to be one. You know?
But we want to know until I know what they're going to do with, say, buffers or something, you know, right. I don't know how to respond. I don't have a problem with it till I see it. So I'd like, that's what I say, I'd like to know what, as the elements come in or the chapters or whatever, you know, disseminate it to us or actually I'd like to have a conversation so we all can have input into what we think about.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, exactly, Mike.
I would think, Janelle, just as a suggestion maybe, when you get this draft of a element done, I know it's on our website now, I would suggest at the same time you send a copy of that to all the council.
Absolutely.
Email it to them. They can look at it, read it, what do they want to do. Mr. Burton, do you have a question?
I do. I think George's comment on there may be more public input when they're really looking at something. I mean, if there's going to be nobody showing up to these things, I don't know why we're doing them, right? But I think that there may be more people showing up if they're actually reading something. So I don't know what the right answer or the wrong answer is, but that may be, you may see more people. I don't want to put water on going to each councilmatic district right now because they may really like to hold something and say, what about this, what about that?
And right.
That's the way that discussion's going too, is not only should we do it, but when. We were talking about doing that in early September, and we may want to push that out into October so that there's a tangible
document. Yeah, you have a document.
Yeah, you got something to talk
right.
about.
If somebody sees us, we might adopt this, and they go, oh, wait, I got a problem. Then you'll hear about it, but we're just talking right
and
now.
And we've had the workshops we've done, we just had one on mobility, you know, and that was the topic of it, and that there's public comment on that. We've had a lot of people come with an interest about mobility.
Well, that's pretty much the state. We're giving us directing a little bit of it, isn't it?
No, we've really tried to change the tone this year. Where
very good.
The state's preparing it, but it's more of a partnership. In the past, okay. they just wrote it and said, here.
Right.
This year, it was a real good conversation and more of a level of cooperation on mobility. But we're gonna same thing's going to happen on conservation and mm-hmm. land use and economic development. We already had one, too. So.
Any more? I know we're kind of off the. Any more comments from council, real quick? Or if not, do you have a motion to read? Let's get back to your motion.
Thank you. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the expanded scope for the 2018 Comprehensive Land Use Plan not to exceed $435,193.31.
31 cents.
31 cents.
Pleasure, council.
You know, we're in this thing, so we got to keep moving forward. And unless the staff tells us there's a problem with it, that they are charging too much, or because of the expanded scope and things, and we want to get it right. So I'll make the motion that we adopt this change.
A second
scope of work.
I'll second it.
We have a motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett. And I assume this is what your staff, you're recommending this.
Yes.
And Mr. Lawson recommending this.
Yes, sir.
Just want to know who to tie it to.
And Gina, don't let Gina off.
And Gina recommends
this. And have that, Robin.
And what's this basically? So we can spend more money?
Yeah, we're going to spend more money. Get more paper.
How much more money is it?
$165,000
more.
$165,000 more.
Yep. Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote then. Mr. Arlett.
I'm going to do it because of planning and zonings. They have been the driving force here. And in the end, this is something that they have requested and have had the desire to get more input, more communications, I would say, from the consultant. So therefore, out of respect for the P&Z Commission and their desire to be more involved and have better communications, I'm going to say yes.
Mr. Burton.
My vote is yes for more public communication. You can't go wrong with it.
Right.
Mr. Wilson.
I say no. The more you give them, the more they want to spend.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes, even though Mr. Wilson almost convinced me to vote no.
You wouldn't care, George, as long as somebody else's money. Who'd you care?
I do have concerns about how much money we're spending. I truly do. But as has been said, we're where we are. Certainly public comment's a great thing. But it's easy to spend money when it's not your own, I guess. That's, you know. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Jennings.